It's now 6 o'clock, so I will call the meeting to order. We will start, as we always do, with a moment of silence, please. We will then go to the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, first we have the roll call. Mr. Crawford, would you please do the roll call?
Certainly, we have Garth Baldwin.
Present.
Eric Davidson.
Here.
Karina Higgins.
Present.
Mike Hill. I see Mike on the screen.
Here.
Ryan Lopez.
Here.
Richard May.
I'm here.
And Mary Lou Stewart.
Here, present. Okay, we have audience participation. Do we have anyone, Sam, who has signed up for audience participation?
At this time, I don't see anyone with their hand raised, whether it's via the Zoom function or physically raise their hand, but I imagine we can give them a moment or so.
Yeah. While we're giving him a moment to decide whether or not they want to present, I'll just mention again, you're welcome to present whatever you would like to the City Council for 3 minutes. I ask that you give your name and address prior to talking, and respect the 3 minute deadline, please. So if there is anybody out there that would like to speak on any topic, you may do so at this period. Okay.
Are we going to have a whole 3 minutes anyway here?
Yeah. Okay, let's move on then. We have then a presentation from members of the Beachwalker Villas Homeowners Association regarding proposed Beachwalker Trail. And this is going to be presented by Susan Stearns and Lindsay Anderson. This will be an opportunity for you to give a 10 to 15 minute presentation. And so if either one of you or both of you are present, you may start your presentation.
Okay. Yes, Madam Mayor, if I may, before you begin.
Yes, thank you.
Again, Tim Schermetzler with the City Attorney's Office. I just wanted to address council briefly before this presentation. As council is aware, the City Attorney's Office and city staff have been working on the Semiahmoo-Spit Trail extension along the Beachwalker Villas property for some time and have been engaged in discussions with owner representatives from Beachwalker as well as Beachwalker's attorney. The parties continue to have disagreement on several critical issues. Beachwalker requested through their attorney for an opportunity to present to council, and council decided to allow such an opportunity for a presentation at tonight's meeting. Council is not taking any action on the agenda item tonight. It is simply an opportunity for Beachwalker to provide information to council. The presentation from Beachwalker at this meeting is not a public hearing, and it's not an opportunity for back and forth engagement or negotiations. The lack of discussion or comments by the City Council members should not be taken as agreement with any points made in this presentation. Negotiations and discussions on this project are, of course, ongoing with staff in the City's Attorney's Office, as well as representatives with Beachwalker. Thank you.
Okay, with that being said, if Susan and Lindsay are prepared to give their presentation, please go forward.
Yeah, hi. Thank you very much. Let me share my screen. Just bear with me while I try to get this set up. Thank you. So I want to thank you all tonight for this opportunity. My name is Susan Stearns. I'm an owner at Beachwalker Villas and a board member. And I'm here tonight with Lindsay Anderson, who's the president of our board. We're here tonight just, I understand from the city attorney that yes, this is just a one-way presentation. We're not expecting any answers from the council, but we do feel that it was important for us to have this opportunity to speak to you directly. The image on this picture, on this first slide, is the current state of the beach access from Beachwalker Villas. It's a natural, beautiful, accessible beach access, and it is what we're hoping to preserve over time. So we're here tonight because really we just simply need to know, obviously not tonight, but maybe through the city attorney at a later date, what is the city council's position with regard to this dispute? Is it willing to go to litigation over it or is it not? And the reason why we need to know the answer is as a board, we need to update our owners. This is not a dispute that can be resolved by the board of Beachwalker Villas. It is one that will most likely have to have a vote of all the owners. And so we are at an impasse as to how we can advise our owners of the situation because we really don't understand how the council feels about this matter. So as the attorney mentioned earlier, this dispute started back in 2018 when the then board at Beachwalker Villas first became aware of the fact that the city wanted to build a path across the Beachwalker Villas property that connects the existing paths on its adjacent property owners, the Marin on one side and Semiahmoo Shores on the other. It's been a dispute since day one. Beachwalker Villas has invested over $50,000 in legal costs, also with surveyors and appraisers, on this whole issue of the interpretation of the 1985 easement, which is the easement that's legally subject to the property. In December of last year, the city decided to open up this matter again. And we became aware of it when the city came on property with a surveyor to start looking at where they were going to start construction of a path. In December, we received a settlement letter from the city attorney to our attorney with a proposed location of a path and a settlement offer that also indicated that if we were not agreeable to this, that we would then be faced with litigation. So basically, what is it? It's really a property dispute. It's nothing more than that. Over where is this easement? Is the easement plotted as it says in the 1985 documents that are recorded? Or is it a floating easement, which is what the city says it is? Beachwalker Villas was built back in the 80s, and it is subject to that old easement. In 2013 and in 2018, the Marin developers and the Semiahmoo Shore developers gave new additional easements to the city. The path that exists on those two developments are the ones that are plotted per those new easements. And so we simply want to know what is going to be the situation with the interpretation over the 1985 easement. Here's a picture of the easement as depicted on the plat. We feel it is a fixed in time easement, especially by the fact that it is delineated on the map by double lines. It is no indication in the language of the easement that it's a floating easement.
Subject to interpretation.
Here is pictures of the natural path that is accessible by the public and used by the public every day that goes across our property. In fact, I was up there yesterday and it was a beautiful day and there were lots of people walking on the beach and there seemed to be no issue with accessibility to the beachfront across our property. So here's a picture, and it's also, all of this is in the packet that we sent to you, of where the city is proposing to put the pathway now. The reason why this is problematic to us is that where they propose to put the path is considerably up bank closer to the units and the buildings, which is a detrimental impact to the quiet enjoyment of our property. where now people can enjoy the access way that I just showed you. And we will not, they will not be looking into our buildings. They will not be looking into our units. And we feel that there's a privacy, quiet enjoyment that we have today that will be destroyed if the path is built where the city is proposing it be built. It's also a financial negative impact to our property values, which again is why we need to put this before the entire ownership. And we will, under our declaration, be required to have a supermajority to approve any settlement or any other decision with regard to the proposed pathway that the city wants to build. So this is really where we are today. We're at this impasse. The city insists that's a floating easement and they can build it where they want to and where they proposed, and we disagree. And so based upon the last letter that we got and where we seem to be at an impasse with being able to have an open dialogue with the council, who was ultimately responsible for making the decision whether we litigate or not, is that we're faced with litigation. We're faced with going to court and having a court judge where the easement is and whose interpretation is correct. Litigation is not in anyone's best interest. It's a risk on both sides. It's a financial investment on both sides. It's taxpayer money. It's constituents that need to agree to it or not. And we feel that we need to know what is the situation that the council is going to support. Ultimately, if the city doesn't get the court determinations that it wants, is it really going to go to the point of filing for an eminent domain, which will basically be a taking of our private property in order to build a pathway to adjoin two other developments? And that is really what brings us here this evening. So in closing, this picture, I think, is a really good illustration of where we are with the interpretation of the 1985 easement. We feel the easement is between the two red lines, and the city is saying that the floating easement is between the two blue lines, and the path that they want to build is representative of the green line that crosses our property and connects the path at the Marin with the path at Semiahmoo Shores. I won't say that this is an exact, it's just a rendition for illustration purposes. I appreciate that we won't be able to have a dialogue this evening, but I do want to close with, number one, thanking you for the opportunity to present tonight, but also to invite you to have an actual dialogue with us where we can sit down and have a discussion with the council. So with that, I would like to say thank you. I don't know, Lindsay, if you have anything else that you want to add with the time that we have remaining.
If so, thank you.
Okay, Lindsay, do you have anything you want to add then?
No, I don't. Thank you. I think Susan's presented it well for on behalf of the board and the owners.
I'd just like to point out to the City Council, this presentation that Susan just gave is in our packet. So if you want to go back and have a look at the maps, you're able to do so. Okay, well, thank you very much, Susan, for your presentation, and Lindsay for attending and giving your presentation.
Thank you very much.
The council has followed your presentation. Okay.
Great.
Thank you very much. So we will move on now then to written communications, Sam.
An email dated March 7, 2022 from Michael Jones regarding Colshan CLT projects. Email dated March 9th, 2022 from Michael Jones regarding the final transportation budget. And email dated March 9th, 2022 from Michael Jones regarding approved funding for the North Harvey Road project. Email dated March 11th, 2022 from Michael Jones regarding Beach Rocker Trail history and timeline. And a new email dated March 14th, 2022 from Stacy Prachner regarding the Blaine by the Sea Art Studio Tour.
Right. Okay.
Madam Mayor and Council, I did want to just point out on the email from me on March 11th regarding Beachwalker history and timeline. I sent a follow-up that Sam, the city clerk, replaced in there. So you, if you read the first memo but didn't look at the follow-up memo, I wanted to point out that there was an error in the first memo, which I corrected in the follow-up, which changed the, we corrected the amount of money the city had spent to date. So just, you know, it's easy to miss that change. I wanted to make sure you knew that was in there.
Okay, and Mr. Jones, do you want to make any comment on the weekly Blaine legislative report, which is there for everybody to read?
No, not so much. I think the majority of those items were either included in those emails or repeated in my city manager's report. Right. And obviously there's a ton more information, but those are the key items from what we were tracking.
Okay, excellent. Okay, so then we're moving on to the consent agenda. The items listed below will be enacted by one motion, and they are as follows. A voucher memo, approval of bills for $460,950.43, a wire register for $458,157.31, approval of payroll, $686,681.79. Approval of February 28th, 2022 City Council minutes. A resolution 1879-22, surplus public works vehicles. And we've removed number six to go into a council action item. So do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda, please?
So moved.
Is there a seconder?
Second.
Okay, Garth. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Are there anyone in opposition? Okay, it is passed by 7-0. Then we will go on to the council action items. Should I put that collective bargaining as number one, or do you want to make it number three, Mr. Jones?
If it pleases the mayor and council, number one would be great, ma'am.
Okay, go ahead then.
This is really a brief item, but I did want to let council know that although we've resolved our negotiations with the IBEW during the final write-up sort of checking back through it with IBEW representatives, there was one item that we had some discrepancy on, some disagreement on what we had agreed to. And that has to do with on-call time. It's only a holdup for us at this point because we're trying to figure out how to do what we would like to do through the payroll system without causing great difficulty. So I did want to let council know that I would still recommend approval of the IBEW contract. And I would just request that that be subject to a final review by the city manager on the on-call language. So we can correct that after the fact and not have to bring it back before you.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve the collective bargaining agreement with the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers with these modifications that the city manager has made? Anybody going to move?
So moved. Okay. Second.
Okay. Is there any discussion on this? Any questions? Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
It looks like Mr. Baldwin has a question, ma'am.
Oh, okay. Oh. I wasn't sure whether.
Sorry, I was trying to move the contract off my desktop with my hand. At the same time, trying to wave and unmute myself because I'm doing four things at once. No, I was just wondering what the change or address of the on-call stuff was.
So what we had agreed to was when the workers are on call, required to be on call for more than 2 weeks out of a month, which means they can't travel far from the city. They have certain responsibilities to stay in a condition where they can work at the drop of a hat and that sort of thing, that we would pay them a supplement. And then as we tried to work through how that would work in our payroll system, we realized that that was very difficult. So what it could result in is that we agree to pay them a slightly higher on-call rate just for all on-call time to kind of wash that situation where we have them on call sometimes now 3 weeks out of a month. And that's a lot to ask of people. So the cost of that would be fairly nominal to the electric utility, a couple $1,000s a year overall. So
that's enterprise money?
It is the Electric Enterprise Fund, yes, sir. And so it's significant that we recognize the employees for having to interrupt their personal lives and their family time and things, but it is just something we're trying to work through how to logistically do what we've agreed to do.
So they agree to the pay rate is not the question. It's how right. It gets distributed or dispersed.
Yes, exactly.
Dispersal.
We figure out how to pay.
It's just a bean counting thing.
Yeah.
They're okay with the pay. We were already okay with it. I just wanted to make sure that that wasn't the problem. Thank you.
Thank you.
And as I understand, Michael, we're only talking of a handful of employees at most.
Right. And that's actually part of the problem is right now we only have 3 employees instead of 4 in that division. And as a result of that, everyone has to be on call more frequently.
Right.
And so if we can't resolve that, or if someone were out, for example, on an injury for an extended period of time, we'd have people on call more than 2 weeks out of every month. And that's, like I say, that's tough. You can't go away for the weekend. You can't be more than 30 minutes away from the city of Lane because you need to be able to respond. And that's,
you can't imbibe.
Yes. And you can't imbibe. You can't go to a barbecue at your friend's house and have a few beers because you might have to start playing with high voltage electric wires. So we've got it figured out, except for the technical side of it.
Okay. Is there any more discussion? Anyone else have anything? So I will put this to a vote. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, that passes 7-0. So moving on then to Ordinance 22-2979, amending the budget for fiscal year 2022, and that's the Finance Director, Mr. Heberling.
Thank you, Madam Mayor and Council Members. So this is Ordinance 22-2979. The action needed would be to adopt the ordinance and amend the budget for fiscal year 2022, and staff recommends that City Council waive the second reading and approve the ordinance amending the budget for fiscal year 2022. A quick background on it is part of the budget process and reorganization of public works departments as we created 2 4-person positions. And the intent was to add the 4-person positions and leave the 2 crew chief positions in the budget so that those could be filled. And during the process, we only had 1 crew chief position budgeted, so missed one of them. So this amendment just adds back the second one. And it would make a total cost of $75,000, which is salary and benefits. And that's all I had, unless there's any questions.
Okay, so I will ask for a motion for Ordinance 22-2979, amending the budget for fiscal year 2022.
Do I have a motion?
Ryan, and seconder? Okay, have you got that, Mr. Crawford?
No, I missed a second.
Second.
Okay. Is there any discussion from anybody on the council? If not, all those in favor say aye.
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 Are there any in opposition? Okay, the ordinance passes 7-0. Okay, our last council action item is a decision. Oh, okay, this is going to be fun. Decision to remain in virtual city council meetings or return to in-person meetings. And Mr. Crawford, this is yours.
Yeah, this is a very simple and straightforward one. Council voted on this a couple months ago, whether to go back to in-person. And by in-person, I mean a hybrid style meeting, which is everyone in the council chambers, but still having it projected out virtually to the rest of the world. Like I said, very simple. It takes a vote tonight of the majority of council to go back to in-person or to stay virtual. And yes, there will not be any masks.
All right. Can I have somebody make a motion to, I guess what you have is 2 options. So someone could make a motion for either keep it virtual or a motion to have return to in-person meetings.
I'd like some clarification on something Sam just said there. There would be no masks required at the in-person meeting. Is that accurate?
Correct. No. Yeah. If obviously, if someone would like to wear a mask, they are more than welcome to do so, but it would not be a requirement of staff or council members or the general public for that matter.
Thank you.
Move to approve back to in-person council meetings.
Is there a seconder for that?
I second.
Okay. There's a seconder and a third. Okay. Is there any discussion on this? To moving to go back to in-person meeting?
I would like to explain myself. I rather prefer virtual meetings. However, I think as a city council, we have a responsibility to answer to our citizens. And part of that is being present at the meetings at city council as, you know, as arranged. And so I think it's just the most responsible thing that we should do. That's it.
Okay, anyone else have any comments? I guess if no one else has a comment, then I get to make a comment. One of the advantages of an in-person meeting is it makes it much easier for council to be face-to-face with city staff. If they have a simple concern or question that they would like to ask them, it's much easier to deal with it than trying to phone them or send them an email. So there is that as an advantage, in addition to what Gar said, which I agree with. Being available and in person so that the public can actually see us as we are. So if there's no further discussion, we'll have a vote. All those in favor of returning to in-person meeting, say aye.
Aye.
Are there any objections? I think it's 7-0 then to return to in-person meetings then, Sam. Okay, commission, committee, and board reports. Does anyone have anything on their committees that they would like to discuss at this time? Garth, go ahead.
I was in attendance for the Public Works Advisory Committee Thursday, March 10th. And besides a lovely presentation by Dan Heverling on transportation improvement funding, which was fabulous. We talked about the general update to the Switch Farm, which if you haven't driven by the Hughes area where the substation is a lot bigger than I thought it was going to be. It's a pretty significant structure there. It's cool. It's really cool. There's these concrete bunkers in the ground and it's just like, I don't know. It's kind of cool. If you get a chance to swing by there, take a look at it. We did a sewer update. We did some shoreline stuff, you know, the emergency shoreline stuff that we're trying to figure out funding for. What everybody knows that it's something that Public Works is working on constantly, all the issues that we are having with things. There was some mention by Mr. Lucas during the meeting about the use of E Street by large trucks, and he's been run off the road a couple of times, he said, and the road is getting pounded and all that sort of stuff. And Bernie heard what he had to say, and I'm sure that it's on the agenda of a meeting, as well as Bernie and I have a meeting to talk to discuss things in the future here soon. But I just wanted to bring that up, things that were said.
Okay, any other committee that someone would like to report on?
Madam Mayor, I'll just briefly mention that we have a small cities meeting tomorrow, so there's not a report from small cities, but I do expect we'll be discussing the jail letter, and I wanted to thank council members for their comments. We are still working on a revised draft.
So I have a question on that. So the revised draft that may be coming with Bellingham's input has not occurred yet, has not finalized?
That's correct. I have not received that yet, sir.
That may be forthcoming tomorrow or not. Okay.
I don't have a committee statement, but I do. Garth bringing something up reminded me of something that I'd been hearing about recently regarding Public Works. about the about our water supply, for example, and what we send over to Birch Bay, how much we pay them. It basically, do we have enough water? And I feel like it's been a lot of years since we've had some sort of audit. I think it was before I was on council, because I remember, because I think it was before I was on council. So that's been a few years. So Bernie, do you, or Michael, do you have any idea what we're like in the, I mean, we don't have to go into it now, but do you think we could have an overview of that at some point in the next few months as to where we are at on our water situation here?
Absolutely, yes. And I'd be, we will definitely bring that forward, and I will chat with you this week, Wednesday, probably can give you a little bit of an update on that.
Oh, okay, great. Thanks, Michael.
Okay, any other further discussion on?
I got a couple questions that I've been getting asked a lot, and I'm just bringing it out to council that maybe we can get our hands around it. We got a lot of stuff going on downtown. We got a lot of stuff going on East Maple Ridge. We got a lot of stuff going on. But I'm here. We got guys in town now that are buying up properties and wanting to develop downtown, and they're asking when we are going to get start communicating with them about rezoning, the streetscape plan, you know, and so it'd be real nice if we could get that on the agenda to talk about, or get a, I don't know how you put it together, but we really need to address that, because once that border opens, it's going to get crazy busy around here, and we got to be ready. You know, I actually crossed the border yesterday coming from Canada. It's the first time I've been in there in 2 years since COVID. And I never really noticed, the guy I was with, he pointed out to me, but when you come through the truck border, there's absolutely no signage about downtown. I mean, you may have historic, whatever, but there's no, you know, a lot of people come through that border, don't have no clue that even go downtown. They think Blaine, that's it. You know, they go by the high school and that's it. But I think it'd be real helpful to get some signage up there. And I know a guy there, Hugh Weeb's got a place that, A to Z Storage right there, which he would allow us to put up something there to help. You know, we got people driving right by us, so that would help. But really, we've been looking for guys like that are downtown right now. They're here. They're buying up the properties. It's what we want. It's they're first class. They're listening. They're not taking over. But we really need to get our arms around that, because I know we got a lot of stuff going on. But these guys are asking me, okay, now when do we, you know, since we're buying this stuff, let's start talking. So I don't know what the next step is. Maybe get a group together, or maybe we could get a round table with the council. I don't know how to do that. And the developers, and just listen to them, you know, listen to, this is what we'd like. We these guys are putting money into this town, and it's our opportunity. And like I heard Eric or somebody was saying about inflation, you know, that's coming up too. And these guys look at all that stuff and they're really good. We got guys that you guys are, I'm telling you, I've never found guys this good. And it's not like they just want to do their thing. They want Blaine to be Blaine, you know?
My understanding is the truck crossing, that little piece there is the state route that's not actually like where Blaine's not really in charge of. But if I recall correctly, there's like an up ramp that just says to D Street this way. And I don't know whether or not we could ask the you know, I believe the state highway or whoever it is that is in charge of that piece, to instead of just saying D Street, or say, you know, downtown or commercial services, or, you know, even some additional thing on that, and not just have the sign be way up at the top. We could ask them to have a sign down below, because if you don't happen to glance upward at that ramp, you just continue straight along the state route past the high school, and then you're on it at 275. So those that might be something we consider as a city to request of the state. Would that be correct, Michael, as the best route to solve that?
It is a state highway, so yeah, they are in control generally of signage. We do have signage on the truck route for northbound traffic indicating downtown and city services being available via H Street. We can certainly do a review of that signage, report back to council, and I would say we have been down this route before with the State Department of Transportation. It's not easy to get signs on the state highway, but we can certainly request that again if that's something that council would like us to do. Mr. Hill, on some of your other comments there, if you're aware of some folks who would like to present to council and have some things they'd like to bring to council's attention, they certainly, of course, can come to a meeting. I'd be happy to discuss it with them, and perhaps we'd set aside some time, much like we did with Beachwalker. But things like rezoning would begin with a process with the Community Development Department, and there's a way to apply for that. There's also a way for council to initiate those kinds of things. So that the best start there really would be for them to get in touch with me, and we can work on perhaps agendizing a presentation to begin a conversation.
And yeah, just that with it. If you give me all that information of what to get, I can get them. They're bugging me. And so I definitely get it, but I'd love to get them in front of the councils, what I really want to get them in front of.
If you want to have them coordinate, so there's three ways to get something on the council agenda, sir. Either the city manager can do it, the mayor can do it, or three council members can do it. If you want to have them get in touch with me, I'd be happy to talk with them about what they want to present. And if I think it should be on the agenda, I will certainly do that. But there are two other avenues for that to happen.
Okay. If you just send me a memo on something like that, I can get you all that. Just give me a couple guidelines and I'll send it to you.
I'll do.
Okay. And maybe the group also could meet, like three of us. Oh, I guess you can't do that either, can you? I would say three at one time and three at another. You can't do that. That's the same thing, right?
You can meet with less than a quorum of council, but what you can't do is share information about what others said and sort of generate a common base of knowledge, because that would then be a serial meeting.
Okay. And do we have any designs yet on the downtown streetscape of any designs, anything we can look at since we're...
No, sir, we don't. The project has not been awarded to a design firm yet. So there is nothing to show to people, nothing to talk with people about.
And that's supposed to be done this year?
No, sir. It's supposed to be designed during the course of this year to go to construction next year.
That's not... Okay.
Will there be a city manager's report?
Yeah, that's coming up. Okay, on the agenda. So that's the next item on the agenda is department reports. And at this moment, there's only one department report, and that's city managers. So Mr. Jones, the stage is yours.
Thank you. And when I'm done, and when I'm done, Mr. Heverling has a brief report he wanted to go over. So if you could add that to the agenda there, that would be great. I do have a city manager's report in the packet, and actually producing these reports eliminates most of the need for me to report other things. Nothing new has come up to report since this was produced. I did want to mention one thing related to this in the development report. It notes that an amount of money being taken in, I think it's $300,000, in fees for building permits. It's worth noting that in January and February, we've already achieved at the close of February, meeting our 50% or 6 months worth of budget for building permit review. We're way ahead on development activity in that regard. A lot of work for Ms. Pratchner's department, and a lot of work for certain folks in Mr. Zmanek's department as well. So kudos to them. And those numbers that are there represent, when you add January and February together, 6 months worth of budgeted revenue. That just that just goes to show you that we're seeing a lot more development activity than we even anticipated we might. But I have nothing else unless someone has questions about any of the items in the budget, or excuse me, in the city manager's report, anything on the legislative agenda or any other comments.
Michael, I have a question about what you just spoke on, the fees that are coming in. Now, those all go into the general fund, correct?
Well, there's a whole bunch of different fees. When someone gets their building permit, at that time, that's when we collect general facility fees, which are like water and sewer connection fees. It's also when we collect plan review fees and building permit fees, which pays for inspection services. And it's also when we collect impact fees and some other incidental things. And so the building permit review fees have reached 50% of a year's worth in 2 months. Those are what I was speaking to. But the process of issuing building permits involves the payment of all sort of different fees that all occurs at one time.
So whether we have 100 building permits in a year or 500 building permits in a year, that doesn't necessarily push a bunch of extra money into our general fund to do whatever with. That really, it sounds like it goes toward
the plan review fees and the building permit fees go into our general fund because that's where those services are paid from. Mm-hmm. So yes, if we, let's say we keep this pace and we have six times what we expected in this year, the general fund will be, have greater revenue. And then it will give the city council options for how they might budget for using that revenue in the future.
Okay. Just kind of on that note, and I'm sure Dan knows this better than anybody, but for the rest of the council members, that would likely be an anomaly for a few years. We're not going to build 1,000 houses or, you know, every 3 years till the end of time. So we just have to be wary of like, oh, we have an extra $200,000. You know, let's buy a boat. You know, I just got an example because you can sink money into that forever. And I don't want to do that. So I'm just throwing my fiscal conservative hat on to say like, we're going to have extra money. Let's not spend it. I guess that's all that was. Thanks, Michael.
I just have one comment to make. I went out to East Blaine to look at the development out there because I'm doing a presentation to the Semiamu Men's Breakfast Club this week. So I wanted to have a look for myself what was going on. I ran into the project manager for DJ Construction. And I chatted to him for a few minutes and he is just overjoyed at the city and how quickly and cooperatively that they are getting their permits now. And he is just full of praise for the city and for Michael Jones, just for FYI.
Thank you, ma'am. I wanted to mention that I ran into Jason in the hallway here today, the project manager. He was very appreciative of Public Works and community development staff in their response to the permits. Mr. Hill, you were part of a meeting where we met with some DJ and DJ Construction. His report to me this afternoon was he just really appreciates the turnaround and is very, very pleased with things. So, Madam Mayor, I appreciate the compliment, but it really belongs primarily with staff.
Well, it does. But it's good to see that the people that are doing what we want to happen, build houses, are happy with the way the city is handling the whole package. So that's all I'm saying.
Can I say, I'm going to be just the opposite. And I'm sorry you're going to hear the bad end of this thing. But, you know, there's some that are happy and some that are still frustrated. And I think a lot of stuff gets heard behind the table that doesn't get heard out in front of us. And yeah, I've been talking with the Grandest Pond people and the owner and the new proposed owner, and they're pretty frustrated with us right now. So I think we need to have that meeting that we had with DJ and those guys. We need to have that meeting because you got one that's happy, but you got two more that aren't. And the, you know, And one frustrating thing was really for them was they had a meeting set up with Michael. It was 2 months set up, I guess, in advance, and it got canceled a couple of days before the Sterling guy could meet with him. And the guy flew here from France, you know, and I just can't fathom why that meeting would have got broke. And so to me, I want to hear why. I want to hear what's going on there. And I want to be a part of that in between the frustrated. And I know DJ and those guys have talked to me too, but I'm telling you, I want everybody to hear everything.
So, Michael, sorry, were you done, Mike? Sorry.
No, go ahead.
So between Michael and Bernie, is there a need for city council members to be at this meeting? These types of meeting?
Typically, no. Mr. Hill and the mayor were at the meeting set up by Mr. Hill at his request with DJ and DJ developers. And it's certainly useful for council to participate, but most of this is operational. And so not always, but it's also very useful for investors, interested parties to have the ear of council members and speak with council members. So it really can go both ways, sir.
Okay. Yeah.
But and Eric, what
it doesn't sound like
what I heard from DJ and
I'm not finished the meeting. It sounds like it was the mayor's wealth then.
You broke up a lot there, sir. I didn't really hear you.
I'm sorry. So it doesn't sound like it was just Mike Hill at the meeting. It was also the mayor as well.
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
And also I was at the meeting with Skip Jansen as well.
Okay, great. Yeah, because I mean, I would prefer two council members at the meeting rather than just one if we're going to have any at all. I actually prefer zero, but if we're going to have any representation, I'd like to have two council members because I think that's a better representation as a whole rather than just throwing a dart and hitting one person. So.
Well, what they're saying to me is DJ and those guys said that since we were there, it got a lot different. And that's why I think we need to be there. I don't think they hear the same thing if we're not there. We hear both. I think everybody needs to be in one room, get a round table, and then nobody can lie. Why piece it all together? If there's some way we can get these guys together, we can solve tons of these problems. But, it's 2 weeks here, 2 weeks there. These guys are going broke sitting here watching us.
So which ones are lying, Mike?
What's that?
You said nobody can lie. Which ones are lying?
The city.
Oh, okay.
Miss Ma'am, may I address something there?
Yes, you may. Yeah, you may.
Mr. Hill, they said that things got a whole lot better or that meeting was different than what they've had before. You made it sound like that was with me. I have never met with those five individuals before in my life that day. So they couldn't have had an experience of what it was like to meet with me before and that it was different when the mayor were in the room, sir.
I'm saying that with your group, you got Bernie, they've met with them. And it amazed me you haven't even met with those people if they got that much money involved in the town. Why have you not met with them?
Because the job of the people who process permits is to process permits and get things done. And they run into difficulties, sir. Then they meet with someone like me, and that's when I become engaged.
I don't agree with you. I just don't agree that the participation that is put in by the city. You guys look at them like they're doing you a favor. You're doing them a favor by working. It's wrong. It's so wrong. The attitude of this city is dead wrong.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Mike. We're going to have to stop this right now because this is not council business. So I'm moving on with the calendars, and you can notice that there are a few meetings listed on there. So check your calendars. Is there any unfinished business?
Madam Mayor?
Dan. Yeah. Yes, I'm senior moment. Okay. Yes, you were to speak. Yes, please do.
Just two quick things. So first, I'll start with a positive note real fast. The investments, I purchased a new investment today, and at some point I'll be bringing more information to you about investments and revenue. And interest rates are definitely getting better. So that's good. Last year, one was purchased for 0.2% for 5 years, just because that was the economy at the time. And I purchased one today for 2.4%. So that's really good for 5 years. So that's, again, like Mr. Jones was saying, his revenue is looking better in a lot of other areas. And, you know, that's an extra $22,000 a year for the city. So each one of those helps. The second thing I wanted to give a quick update on is there's an issue recently with utility bills. So some of the council members might be hearing constituents saying they didn't get a utility bill. And this was not something that the city is at fault with. So our utility bills were mailed out on time through our AMS service, the automated mailing service, like they are every single month. But for some reason, this recent mailing, the postal service either lost or delayed a whole bunch of bills. So there's multiple constituents that are reporting they either didn't get a bill or it's late. And so I just wanted to bring that to council's attention. If you hear that from your constituents, that it was a postal problem, not something that the city did wrong. Is there any questions on that?
Are people being charged late fees as a result of this kind of delay?
So yes, that is something that I was going to address too. If on the late fees, they will get charged a late fee. However, I can waive them. And that's something also that I'm going to be bringing to the council in the future with when I review our policies and procedures. We have one of our financial policies is we're only allowed to waive late fees once per year per customer. So I can waive the late fees on this. However, if the per customer had one waived previous to this, then I can't.
So is that a rule that the city council has imposed on your department, or is that like a state law or something?
No, that would be something that was made as a procedure change when that policy was created. So if we run into a situation where a bunch of people are late that have already had a waiver, I'm just going to come to the city council and say, can I get permission to ignore the policy this time? And then I'll create a new policy.
Right. But what I'm asking is how we can empower you to have more discretion on that. Is that something that council imposed, or is that just a rule that the city manager was able to use his discretion about? Michael?
Well, I don't think the policy states that city manager can just change this, but I can create a new policy and council can just vote on it. And I can do that real quick.
Okay, because I would be proposing that in a case like you described, where a large grouping of people seem to all report to you that it's the mail's fault. It's not just one or two people saying it, but enough people that where there's smoke, there might be fire, that we can create some kind of a discretion where if you detect that it's due to mail, right, that you can add an additional wave over and above the one wave. That's something I would vote affirmatively on if that were before council. So if any other council members here agree with me that you'd like to have the opportunity to vote on that change, if you could indicate now, I'd appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds reasonable to me, obviously.
Yeah, and I think given the climate right now with the Postal Service, they're going through some teething problems. I think that makes sense to make allowances for the facts that the delay may be at the post office.
Yeah. Hey, Dan.
I'd be happy to review the language.
Yes.
Dan, I was wondering, do you have a geographic location or area of where these missing bills were, or is there any sort of location data-wise?
Not that I have at this point. Okay. I don't believe it's located to a certain geographic area. I'll ask my staff and see if there's ability to find that, but I don't believe that we have that to know if it was a certain area.
Well, with rural delivery on the streets, if you get, two blocks in a straight row, it's, kids running down the road stealing everybody's mail and chucking it in the woods somewhere. But our mail goes from here, it would go from City Hall to the Everett, across the street, and then it would go to Everett, right, and then come back for delivery. So it's just one of those things. I just wondered, my mind always thinks spatially, and I wondered if there was some sort of spatial relationship to the missing bills. But anyway.
Yeah, I don't think there is in this situation. It's automated mailing service that sends it out. So it's not coming from City Hall. And yeah, it goes to Everett and then comes back to here. But it just sounds like a large batch was either misplaced or lost or something from the Postal Service. But yes, as soon as people start, you know, talking to me and requesting, and I'll talk to my staff too, that just waive the late fee. And then if there's a situation where the person has already had a late fee waived and then I can't do that, that's where I'll just bring something real quick to the board or the council and say, I'd like to get an exception to the policy this time and waive all the late fees. And then I'll create an actual new policy for the future to fix that.
Oh, I see. So we do a temporary one-timer just to fix this current batch, but you are talking about giving us some language so that we can empower you just in an ongoing fashion so that you could have discretion under certain circumstances like this.
Right. And it's part of the entire policy review that I'm going to be doing. I'm looking at all the financial policies, and you've recently voted to update one of them, but I got like 10 more that I'm going to be updating, including this one. But yeah, I can come to you with just a real quick, you know, like possibly even next meeting if we have a bunch of these issues, and then just state, can I get permission from council to waive the late fees that's in violation of the policy this time just to do this?
Yeah, and by the way, just to be clear, I was suggesting that overall the one wave per year is not a bad idea. I was just saying the exception would have to have some grounds to it. So right. I wasn't suggesting changing it from a once per year to just having generalized discretion. I was saying with cause, more than once per year with cause, such as, multiple reports of a mail disruption, and you might add a couple others that you could foresee in your experience. That's what I was suggesting the language could look like.
Yeah, that sounds good. If there's no other questions, I just, Madam Mayor, Chief Tanksley wanted to give a real quick report too, if that's fine. Hey.
Chief.
Thank you, Council. So today I had the opportunity to meet the widow of Assistant Chief of Police Larry DeRonso. And if that name rings a bell, he was killed on September 4th, 1978. He was a Blaine police officer, died in an airplane crash with another reserve officer. It's been almost 44 years. They're the only two Blaine police officers in the history of the city that has perished in the line of duty. So so she came up here today to the police department from Arlington, talked with her for about an hour, and she wanted to give a small donation to the police department. So of course I couldn't take the donation. So I did direct her to the finance department, which I do believe she made a small donation. But, you know, that reminded me of, you know, how we honor these two law enforcement officers who gave their lives for the city of Blaine. So just, you know, something to think about, and perhaps I could come up with something, but I think every year we should pay respect to these two officers. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Chief. 44 years as a widow, and she's giving a donation. That is quite something. Okay. So back to the calendar, we have no unfinished business. And do we have council new business? Okay, then we do have an executive session to discuss potential litigation pursuant to RCW 42.30.110.13 with no action to be taken. Mr. Sitcom, this is yours.
Yes, it is mine, Madam Mayor. Thank you. I anticipate a half hour, and if this is going to be longer, I'll text or email Sam and let him know it'll be a little bit longer. Sam, maybe before we all go in, you can remind myself and other council members of how we're going to get there in confidence. Are you going to move us to another room?
That is correct. I'll be moving the council members to a breakout room.
It'll be Peter, myself, and the council members.
Will the chair entertain a motion to adjourn the meeting?
I will. It's 7:29. We are back from executive session. There has been no action taken, and so I adjourn the meeting at 7:29.
All right.